I just want to talk about something that's really in vogue with modern offensive basketball.
Get deep.
And that's just some concepts and principles of the
deep
penetration,
deep
dribble penetration game.
Well, all series long, we've been able to penetrate their bigs.
But there's also a topic within a topic.
Get deep. Suck the D in, and then we penetrate their bigs. Get deep.
That's the ostensible reason for doing the clinic.
All right, here we go with Draftastic Deep Penetration with Jeremy, owner of the Sean Kemp's Kids, Brett, owner of the Tony Bros, Pete, owner of the Winners, and me, Forrest, owner of the Unibros. And we are doing our... I was trying to think of a word that means emergency, but you got there late.
It's like the FEMA pod.
Yikes. We're doing our Harden trade pod because we need to do one of those. Everybody needs to do a Harden trade pod. So I feel like we have to start with Jeremy, our resident.
All right, I'm ready. Well, I mean, first reaction, I can't believe I have to root for Kyrie Irving, but maybe I don't have to root for him that long, hopefully. But yeah, the whole time I was hoping he'd go to Philly is really what I was hoping for, that pairing with Embiid. After watching Durant just beat Houston multiple times in the playoffs, it's, you know. But after watching the one game tonight, I'm like, all right, this is good. You know, passing the Durant off the double team is much easier than PJ Tucker. So it's going to be good.
Yeah, that's a different kind of feeling.
Yeah.
And Harden had a good game. So
yeah, he looked like he dropped 10 pounds in 2 days and played 40 minutes tonight and looked fine. So
I can't understand. I don't understand what's going on with the weight thing.
I keep black is a plumbing color.
He's so like the first. So we can even get into like an origin of why I'm a Harden fan at all. But the first time I saw him, I was on like a recruiting trip at Oregon State for football. Mm-hmm. And we got to go to a basketball game, and they were playing Arizona State. I had never heard of this dude ever, but he was their point guard, and he was, like, way bigger than everybody. I'm like, what is, like, up with this dude? And he killed, and I remember texting Tyler, like, hey, this Harden dude is, like, legit. And then, you know, turns out he actually is super good, but his body is so weird. He's, like, the biggest, like, he's super thick compared to every other guard in the league, mm-hmm. but and just on the angle – you know, he can gain 20 pounds or on the color of his shirt.
He loves the baggy clothing. In college, he used to wear that big, baggy, short sleeve shirt.
Yeah, underneath his jerseys. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I keep wondering it because you see there's these, you know, it's constantly these two pictures, one of him like in the shooting motion, looking like super fit, and then the other one of him just like standing around in a layup line.
Well, and then on Twitter today, they were like questioning if that was part of his way to get out of Houston, if he was wearing like some like triple layer suit underneath his Houston stuff. So I don't know, but I mean, he looked like James Harden tonight, so I don't, you know.
Yeah,
he's never looked slow, no matter how bad the pictures look. He always looked,
I mean, you guys saw like that first game against Portland. Yep. That first game against Portland this year, you know, had nobody really single-handedly almost won that game. So,
right. Yeah, that was – did he have more than that game that was good for Houston this season?
No, like he had – the first couple games he was averaging like his 34 points. Then he just fell off a cliff, I think. I think he like rolled his ankle against Sacramento, and then it was like – I'm not doing this. I don't even want to be here. And then he just like fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, what's everybody else's take on the trade? Like initial take on the trade? I guess we can get into some speculation about what they got or everybody, but
just well, I don't think it's fair calling it the James Harden trade when it's clearly the Jared Allen trade. he's the real big chess piece in this move.
Yeah, so
the thing to me, I just keep going back to what Houston got back, and even the fact that they didn't want LeVert, yeah. who now all that stuff came out today about how he has other issues going off, so hopefully that's okay. But mm-hmm. LeVert's like under contract for a couple years, like a reasonable number, and Oladipo's going to be a free agent. So, you know, and there's already rumblings that he wants to leave.
Houston wants some flexibility. After they basically traded away all their flexibility when they got Chris Paul, like, or when they
traded Chris Paul for
like, they basically got all their picks. Yeah, because the Thunder have basically been the winners of this whole entire system, basically just getting picks left and right. And now Houston's basically saying, like, all right, well, if we're not going to have James Harden, we're going to try to have as much future as possible.
Yeah, because they can't even tank. I mean, now they have these Brooklyn picks, but their picks are going to Oklahoma City, so they can't really even bottom out. I mean, unless they want to just give away free top picks, you know.
Yeah.
But I guess what I don't understand is if really Ben Simmons is on the table, how do you not take him and then see how he plays? You can always trade him later. If he's
That was my thing, too. You would have value, like, to flip in a year or two to get picks, you know. Yeah. Bradley Beal, like, who knows what the Wizards would do, like, for, you know, but I don't know.
I mean, I get it. I would take the bottoming out route and then just work the draft. Like, you have, like, who's your highest paid player at that point? Christian Wood? Like, you got time to just, like, settle back.
John Wall for 2 years at 40 plus million. But,
that's a good point, yeah. So, you're dealing with this John Wall business and – like, I mean, he could come back. You don't know about that.
He's played pretty good. Like, the games he's played, like, he's looked pretty good this year. So,
do you think that had an effect on whether they thought bringing, because Ben Simmons and John Wall, neither of them have a good jump shot, really. Neither of them are 3-point specialists. So, I wonder
if Wall can shoot better than Westbrook, you know, I think. I mean, it's been pretty obvious already. But, you know, like, it's you got to play the long game here. Like, you're not going to win a championship, you know, in the next couple years anyway. So I would, you know, ride it out a couple years of Wall and Simmons, you know, maybe you can make that work somehow. And then, you know, like Peter was saying, Simmons is going to have trade value down the line, you know. Yeah. And you have a lot of – you've been already been playing a spread out shoot system, you know, if you have Wall and Simmons pushing it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Rockets with a new coach and everything like that, you just have to assume they're doing a top bottom. I mean, even picking up John Wall, like, yeah, you got to eat that contract. But, I mean, that was kind of a push for Russell Westbrook in a lot of ways. But what I think Russell Westbrook had one more year than John Wall's contract.
Really, it's like pretty much the exact same contract, I think.
So they're like, basically just going to try to bottom out and hoard picks because when you're in the West and LeBron James exists, like, and you got as close as you could against the like a once in a generation team with the Warriors. Like, if I'm the Rockets, I would basically be like, okay, well, our GM just dipped. We got a brand new first ever head coach, and we are like, we've got two giant egos in John Wall and James Harden. What are you gonna do? Like, you basically say, all right, well, we're just gonna press the reset button. We'll eat John Wall's contract and I get him for some fan and have some eyeballs, and then basically just play off after that and just hope you can get some picks later on for some of these other guys.
I think Ben Simmons might be good enough to be like your franchise guy though. I mean, it's hard to get one of those guys.
Yeah.
If you have a chance to get him and see if you can build a team around him, I would want to do that rather than take a bunch of picks. Who knows what you're going to get?
Yeah. Would you have done like, if the offer was just straight up Harden for Ben Simmons?
Well, so the stuff I saw, it was like Philly was offering Simmons and Thibault, and Houston wanted Thibault, Simmons, Maxey, and like 3 first round picks. And so he, you know, because they kind of wanted both worlds. They wanted Simmons and they still wanted picks.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Simmons for Harden, I can see why Houston might be like, you know.
Yes.
But if they were offering Thibault and maybe a pick or two, I personally think that's the better option. Better and if you're than, even then the trade they did, I would have just kept LeVert too, but yeah, that's just me.
So, and what they ended up with was 7 or 8-ish picks, pick swaps that are
4 picks, 4 swaps. Yeah.
4 picks, 4 swaps. Those are all Brooklyn's.
I think one of them was Cleveland.
Yeah. Right? 2022 first is Cleveland's. Okay. And 3 firsts from the Nets. All unprotected, I think.
Yeah.
I think that Cleveland one was really Brooklyn, or not Brooklyn's, the Bucks, like from through a trade that they did. Yeah, really a Milwaukee pick.
So that's a Milwaukee pick. So that's not.
That's the one they got from the Cavs. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that. And Oladipo is what they ended up with.
Yes.
Who is expiring?
It's expiring. And like Kevin O'Connor on the Ringer was saying, he already is hearing he wants to go to Miami and has like been pushing that way already. So again,
yeah, I mean, he's been saying that the last 2 years.
Yeah. So I don't know if they're going to try and flip Oladipo now. Like, I don't know. That'll be interesting to watch. I could see him getting traded again.
Yeah, that's
But then they're gonna get lowballed on that if they're like, he's like, well, I want to trade out to Miami. Like, whenever a player does that, the team that's trading that player away always gets pennies on the dollar.
Yeah,
I don't think the Heat have any first rounders to trade right now either.
Yeah.
What would you be asking? What would they probably be just hoping to get Hero or?
Which, if you're Miami, I mean, Houston already kind of was asking for Hero for Harden, and Miami was hesitant to do that. So, you know, if you're
he seems long.
Yeah,
I feel like Miami is very comfortable with their guard situation right now. Yeah. They like Dragic a lot. They think Hero is going to be
really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm well aware. I don't have a lot of players to watch right now because they're all injured, but. Even he's injured. He has a neck sprain or neck spasms right now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I've got all of I felt really strong about my shooting guard rotation coming into the season. Now CJ, LeVert, and Bogdanović are all out. Yeah. Every night it's another one.
And I think a lot of these injuries are a symptom of a short training camp. I think that's a huge part in this. Obviously the COVID stuff, but and there's a couple players out because of that, but I think a lot of these little nicks and then also they're playing a shortened Titan schedule. So putting both those things into the box, you're going to have a lot of injuries coming out of it, or even just a lot of those minor injuries that normally you're just out for a game in a regular season are taking 2-3 games instead of just that one.
Yeah. Especially if they're sore or, they tweak something one night, it's every other night at best, I'm trying to think of.
Well, and I was reading some stuff about how they're wanting to social distance. So the medical, their treatment that they're receiving is kind of been thrown off by that too. Cause they don't want them in contact with the doctors as much.
Right.
You know, it's just weird. How they're trying to not talk to anybody or not have any contact, but you have to get the treatment. You have to get these practices.
Right. They need more gadgets to do all their treatment for them.
Yeah.
I was gonna let's see. So do you think as far as what Philly offered? Sorry, real quick with the Harden trade. Two things that I wanted to talk about. One is kind of just touching on how that trade touches each of our teams. And then the other thing was what do you think Philly offered? I guess, Jeremy, you were saying Maxey, or no, they wanted Houston.
They wanted Maxey and Simmons. It sounded like it was Simmons and Thibault is what they offered.
Simmons and Thibault versus Oladipo and that.
4 picks, 4 swaps.
4 picks, 4 swaps.
But it's I mean, some of the picks do go out to, I was saying when Harden and Durant will be 38 years old, right. You know? So I get why they would do that option.
And
yeah, I mean, KD, Kyrie, and Harden all are signed until 2022. Then they have a player option, so they all could not re-sign and leave, and Brooklyn can be screwed for the, you know, from 2022 on, potentially.
And they would be, the other thing was that Harden, Durant, and Kyrie have all forced their way out of like decent situations in recent years. So I don't think it's a terrible bet that they might be in the lottery sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I came into the pod thinking I was pretty solid on like Houston took the better deal, but I don't know. I guess I'm coming around a little bit.
What are the odds? Again, it's like that one of those picks is as good as Simmons. And then, you know, it's like even as flawed, we can get into, I know we'll talk about flawed players later, but as flawed as Simmons is, he's still at first team all defense. You know, he's 24 years old. He was third team all NBA last year. Like, there's a lot of upside still there.
Yeah.
And he's proven it versus these picks is kind of a, you know, shot in the dark.
Yeah. That's certainly true. And like, you know, Boston's one of those teams that's had a million picks in the past. And didn't really come out of it better than they were going in. We've got Brett's having some audio trouble.
So as far as how the trade impacted our teams, I guess I'll start with my team.
Yeah.
So first, when Harden was getting traded, I was like, is this going to affect Christian Wood? Because he's been great, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, does not having that guard, especially now Wall was out the last two games, and Wood put up 27, 15, and three blocks, and then 24, 18, and three blocks. So I was worried about that, honestly, but he's obviously stepped up. He's
doing fine, yeah.
So, and then the thing, if Harden was going to go to Philly, I figured that probably hurt Tobias Harris just because right now Simmons isn't shooting, you know. Simmons, he'll shoot layups, but he's not shooting anything else, where Harden definitely would be taking more shots than Ben Simmons. So overall, I think my team right now is still looking okay.
Yeah.
You know, I think the biggest player in our league who might be impacted by this is Kyrie. So whoever has Kyrie.
That's Brett when his audio is healthy. Pete, you've kind of got like similarly like guys who are touched by the trade, but not like directly in the trade.
Yeah. I think John Wall is probably the most impacted.
Yeah.
He's going to have the ball in his hands now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, it really doesn't affect my team really at all. Cause I'm out of it really.
Right. Right. I guess except for just maybe a little bit more time to see.
Hey, I can bump that trade value for Wall though. For
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or
hey, yeah, maybe, you know, Minutes. I'll take Luka for John Wall.
Right. The offer's available, Mike.
For my team, it's Caris LeVert, which, I mean, he's got the injury or the, what do you call it? It's not really an injury.
Is there some sort of growth on his kidney or something?
Yeah, there's a mass on his kidney.
So I assume that's surgery. So probably a few weeks out, you know, kind of bummer for my team, but good for him, especially if it turns out to be more than just like benign thing. Mm-hmm. As far as the fit in Indiana, I was feeling pretty good about it. I feel like Caris LeVert could, I don't think Oladipo's been that impressive really recently. And I think Caris LeVert can kind of fill in a little bit more the way that Oladipo was prior to his injury.
Yeah, I feel like they're pretty similar players, like in a way. Like they're not like great shooters, but decent shooters. They attack a lot, play make, you know. Yeah. So I thought he would probably, you know, do great there.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to it. I saw some folks like who were a little bit less like excited. I think they wanted LeVert to go to a team where it would be like his team, and they were saying how, like, I don't know, because Sabonis is the all-star there, and with
I'm calling Sabonis Baby Jokic. That's what I'm calling it right now.
And if Sabonis is Baby Jokic, is Jokic Baby Sabonis, or is that still Myers Leonard?
don't see Myers Leonard in breath with those guys. That's not fair to those guys or Myers.
that was Shaq, right? Shaq was calling him Baby Sabonis for.
That's because he couldn't remember his name. So you remember,
he's in Portland.
He remembers.
Yeah. Brett, we're talking through how the Harden trade affected each team. So I think maybe, I guess,
and I said it affected your team the most.
Yeah.
Kyrie.
Yeah. Jared Allen gets a loss to cut up minutes because he now is a for sure. I mean, he was a starter because he was producing so well, and now is behind the best rebounder in the NBA.
Yeah.
So that's a big shook, but like Kyrie Irving, like what is going on with, like, what is the situation for him?
Yeah.
Well, they said he was supposed to be back today, but then he had to like test again.
He got lost in the triangle meditating or something. So he's off in the middle of nowhere. He's going to get traded. There's no way he doesn't get, I mean, obviously him and KD are buds, but like, I think James Harden and KD are really good friends. So, and again,
I honestly think
at the end of the day, you just traded away a bunch of assets. You have a ball handler now. Like, what do you do?
The stuff with Harden, I think he's less delusional than Kyrie. I mean, yeah. Kyrie was mad when LeBron was Finals MVP in 2016, you know, and then won his own team. So,
and rightfully, I think Kyrie hit the biggest shot of that entire final.
You know, like, I mean, having those three guys might not be the worst thing, because, you know, Brooklyn could just rotate two of them at a time. Just let one guy off on a sabbatical, 1 or 2 week sabbatical, and then just rotate them.
Yeah, and then once you're in the playoffs, basically just stagger their minutes.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I watched their game today. I watched a good amount of it. I knew DeAndre Jordan was washed, but man, is he washed. Like, Harden probably had four turnovers throwing lobs to a center. I'm guessing, you know, like Christian Wood, Capella, that normally they would catch, and DeAndre could barely get off the floor.
Yeah.
So it's pretty bad.
That goes.
Their center situation is terrible right now.
Well, JaVale
Jeff Green's their number two center.
So Kyrie could be going back to Cleveland.
Yeah. Kyrie for Drummond.
I think Cleveland will trade Drummond. I mean, are they going to pay him huge money? He wants big money. Like, he's going to be a free agent after this year.
They want Sexland. That's all they want. They just want to. They want to keep that up and going.
But they won't. They won't do Sexland. They won't put it on any of their merchandise. Oh, so sure. I think that indicates
that's a Twitter name.
Do we need to blurp this out of the pod? It's explicit content, you know.
We'll just label it when we put it on.
I'll put a warning at the beginning.
Warning: sexually explicit content. When we're talking about James Harden, that essentially puts that in that category.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Okay, so. Since we're kind of talking about Kyrie, I think this is a nice segue into something I wanted us to talk through is, and Simmons comes into this as well, is like, I'm trying to think of like, who is the most tragically flawed point guard in the league? So, or maybe a ranking of the tragically
flawed.
I feel like Steph and Lillard are not at all.
As much as I don't like Steph, I can't put him in there.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have great defense, but it just doesn't seem like it matters that much.
No.
Chris Paul is one that I'm not. He's just old, I guess.
See, I put him. No, I did have him as a sleeper. I did want to discuss this for kind of a little bit. Because as good as Chris Paul is, and like he elevates every team he's on, he tired, like the Clippers situation, he wore those guys out.
Yep.
You know, there was in big moments, he came up short, you know, time and time again. That game against OKC where he famously turned it over like three times in the last minute.
Oh, right. Yep.
You know, and then Houston, he's great, and then gets hurt. So it's like, I don't know. Then he wore on James Harden. Like Harden didn't want him there, right. You know. And now Harden has his own issues too. Like I'm not saying that was all Chris Paul, obviously, right. But it's like almost like he's so driven and like competitive and like on people that in a way there is a little flaw there that wears his teammates out. You know. Yeah. So I think these younger teams.
I think he wears stars out.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why I'm so like
every like young guy, every like second fiddle kind of guy are like, yeah, Chris Paul's like the dude. Like, but as soon as you get someone in there with a competing ego, that's when you kind of get that duality that you don't want in the locker room. Obviously, Blake Griffin was really young when it came in, so Chris Paul was already established. So that allowed it. Those Clipper teams were super successful. But once Blake Griffin started jumping over Kias and getting attention, like that kind of changed that for Chris Paul and that kind of relationship. And that's where you start seeing the Clippers kind of fall apart and, you know, tear apart at the seams. So I don't necessarily put that all on Chris Paul, because at the end of the day, he's going to be, if you really like look at the stats, you look at the purrs, you look at all the things and look at the, just the wins shares that he has on all those teams. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like historically great.
Arguably the greatest point guard of all time in a lot of ways. Yeah. He's the Charles Barkley of point guards, really. Mm-hmm. He's passing over a lot of guys for that, but yeah, that's what he's going to end up being.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I didn't have him like is in there. I just thought he was interesting. It came to mind. Like, so then these young teams, like the last 2 years he's been on, he's been great. Like, okay, see, and now with Phoenix, it's like he's perfect because he's the, you know, that voice in the locker room. There's no one really on his level to challenge him or be like, hey, you know, I've exceeded, done all this as well.
Well, you we'll know. See once Phoenix gets some success where that Booker? Kind of fall, where Booker kind of falls in that regard, if you know, now that James Harden's in the East, where do these all-star bids start falling for these guys? Does it go to CJ? Does it go to Booker? Does it go to, like, where do these?
Yeah, I think the other thing though with OKC and in Phoenix now is that there's no playoff expectations except for hopefully be in there, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or it's like they won the championship in a way if they make it to the playoffs. Like that's how I felt about OKC when he was there, was like, whoa, everybody thought they were going to be the worst team in the league and they made it into the playoffs. Like, what a success story. So I think that helps him as well right now, is like the expectations for him are the bar's pretty low. I mean, I guess it's impressive to take a young team to the playoffs, or a team that everybody is counting out, but it's just not, it's not that kind of playoff pressure that he's never really performed well under.
Yeah, the expectations are very reasonable for him right now. Just take the team to the playoff. Yeah. It's not like just mentor, win.
Just mentor these young guys. They don't know how to win. Like they're just not used to it. And trying to be like, hey, you know, I've been to the playoffs. I've been to the Western Conference Finals. I've seen. Well, I guess I don't – I assume Chris Paul's been to the Western Conference Finals. I don't actually know that.
Of course, that with Houston games and he got hurt, whatever. Yeah, we don't need to relive this. It's a very traumatic experience.
Like, was he actually
– slammed out.
But, yeah, I think that's why you bring in a guy like Chris Paul at this stage in his career. And he's still, like you guys said, he's still a very good NBA basketball player. So he's still going to – you know, give you numbers, give you good minutes. Hopefully with a guy like Booker and even a couple of the other, like you got a lot of young guys on that Suns team that can run the floor. Hopefully having those guys on the floor can alleviate a little bit of the energy that he might have to expend. Because on the Rockets, it was him and James. Like they're pushing the entire game and he wore out, you know, and his hamstring snapped. Like he got tired. It was the same thing on the Clippers, you know, he's the one pushing the tempo the entire time, handling the ball. And then when he's out, it's the Jamal Crawford show. And then he's back in and he's just running up and down the court. So hopefully he doesn't have to, you know, carry that burden and he can actually be on a pretty productive team.
I think I read somewhere Phoenix is like one of the slowest paces in the in the league right now. They're playing.
Yeah, I think they are slow pace.
Because they have a good half court offense with Chris Paul leading things.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to discuss that, but we can get into the more actually flawed.
Okay. Point guards. Let's get into some flawed point guards. How should we?
I would like to remove Kyrie Irving's name from this right off.
Well, hey, I did a top five, and he was only three. I did a top five, and he was only three. So.
He has made one of the biggest shots in finals history. He has shown that he is an effective player. He's just had a couple of injuries and burned a little too much sage. Like,
we should have I had flawed with huge upside. So is that good? You know, flawed.
Like CJ McCollum said, it's not what he does off the court that matters. He's really good at basketball.
But I mean, he has to actually make it onto the court for that to matter.
And not only is he not on the court, he gets hurt a ton. That's another reason why he's flawed. Like, he's always, you know.
I think when you talk about, like, injuries aside, I think you kind of have to break it into two categories. Is it, you know, are they in the wrong generation, the Ben Simmons of the world, or are they just injury prone, like Kyrie Irving?
Or both, Russell Westbrook.
Well, I think with Kyrie, too, he brings that media circus that I think in Boston, at least, that wore on that group, and I don't think anybody was bummed when he left that much.
I think Tatum and Brown had like their worst years of their career that year that he was there. It's like they were really good rookies. He came in, they like tanked, you know, and then he left, and then now they've been, you know, skyrocketed. So.
Yeah, but you also have to account for, like, I think culturally. Boston and Kyrie Irving was not ever going to work. Kyrie Irving is probably one of the biggest champions of social justice in the entire league and racial equity. And Boston is probably, if not,
even Brown's the first
franchise to exercise that in.
I think, though, that's a great point.
That weighed on him.
What's that?
I think that weighed on him. He's been very open ever since, you know, all the stuff that's been going on. But a lot of people think that's why he's missing games right now, because he said he's willing to sacrifice everything to put in time into that, because that's just as important to him as basketball right now.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that. I'm a little bit confused about his I don't know much about Kyrie's social justice efforts. I think mostly what I hear about is the conspiracy theories. So I don't really want to say much, but I do see, like Jeremy was saying, Jaylen Brown is doing awesome stuff. That's what you hear about with Jaylen Brown is like, look at this awesome thing that Jaylen Brown just did. He's like lecturing at Yale or something, or, you know, leading a protest or something. And I don't see that same kind of leadership, at least but it's mediated. So I don't know what Kyrie's doing, but.
Well, and I think it's that give and take idea of like how the media likes to do. Like, the media doesn't care whether it's good clicks or bad clicks. It's like a little kid. Attention is attention. Yeah. And Kyrie Irving gets a lot of attention regardless of what he does. But yeah, the sage burning, all of that stuff in the flat earth, whatnot, like all that kind of joking stuff, like that gets a lot more attention. That gets a lot of clicks. That gets a lot of tweet traffic. And, you know, you got a guy like Jaylen Brown who actually does a lot of great for the community and has nothing on the other side in terms of attention. Like, yeah, he's going to be regarded at a higher status by the franchise. And then Kyrie is going to start getting all the kind of the backside of
it. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like Kyrie, the fact that he didn't even, like, Steve Nash didn't even know where he was.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing if you don't want to tell the public, you know, or be like, have a big media thing, but you got to at least tell your coach or owner, like, hey, I just, what I'm doing, like, I'm keeping it low. I'm going to be out for, you know, but for with them to not even know what's going on.
Like he told me, he's like, I got family things or whatever. Like, I got personal things to deal with. And even under just basic labor law, like, you're not required to disclose that. Yeah. Steve Nash probably should, but Steve Nash also understands how to work the media and basically said, he's like, you know, he's where he needs to be. Like, he's got family things. So, but the media took that way out of control because of the other stuff that Kyrie. So yeah, he's not getting the benefit of the doubt. I'm not saying he deserves it by any means. He definitely has put himself in this position.
You know, he's going to come back and be just whining about how bad the media was.
And then he's going to drop 45 and hit 7 threes and have 8 assists and just like look incredible and then make a guy break his ankles. And then the whole cycle starts over again. Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, the question is Kyrie, would you rather have that or, you know, a Russell Westbrook or a Kemba Walker, which like,
see, that's the thing with Westbrook. I had him as my number one flawed player, but it's weird because every teammate loves him.
Yeah.
He goes all like there's no off the court real issues with him. Right. It's just he is pedal to the metal. This is the only way I play. You know, he's never been a good shooter. And now his athleticism gone, and he has never been able to change or even realize and accept I need to change some of this stuff. He's like, this is the way I play.
Well, what is he going to change? Is he going to become a better shooter? Like, that's
I mean, he could. Tough. He's never. It's not even look like he's ever even tried. Kid. You know, so it's like, it's just weird. Like, he doesn't have any of these off the court issues that a lot of the other players do. But it's like just on the court, he's like, you can't win with him. You know, like even Durant couldn't win with him. It's like, I got to get out of here.
True.
You know, last year, Harden's getting double teamed. They're not even guarding him in the playoffs, you know, and it's just, it sucks for him.
It's,
but
the thing that's maddening is like, you don't even need him to become a better shooter. You just want him to stop shooting. Like if he could take the Ben Simmons.
But you know, he has the accolades and the money, like to be like, you know, I'm going to take this shot. Like, you got an MVP, you've got a triple double machine. You've got a guy like, he's going to, you know, shoot or shoot, even if you can't. Like,
what did he say when he left Houston? I want to go back to playing Russ ball or something like that. It's like, okay, now you're 3-12 or whatever. So
my number one for most cursed point guard would have to be Isaiah Thomas. He is a total circumstantial like anomaly. How does a guy who basically is an MVP candidate in on the Celtics, even before this, it was kind of like, you know, he's kind of like a maybe, maybe not, and then has this great year. Obviously, he had the hip stuff, and that kind of held him back. But, like, in terms of cursed or, like, really, he could have been really good for a while in a lot of circumstances. He had a lot – obviously, he had a lot of things working against him with his height, but – he was doing a lot for that team to keep him afloat, and he was getting high usage too. So just in his circumstances and kind of how it ended and then basically became out of the league in a matter of minutes.
But yeah.
Didn't he just sign with an agent? Isn't he trying to come back right now?
Yeah. Tyler posted something. He's working out for a few teams apparently.
Short old point guards just don't, they don't last. It's just like Chris Paul's the anomaly in that sense, but he plays a little different.
Yeah, it's wild. With, I think that's probably a good like I don't know how you can be more tragically flawed than him. Because it was MVP to basically like, you know, he goes to the Cleveland team.
Veteran minimum.
Yeah.
Almost. In a year.
Yeah. And I feel that's like you were saying with the smaller point guards. Like I think about Ty Lawson.
He was the other one I was going to bring up. Like they have a very similar. Obviously, Ty Lawson had off court issues.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was he in Houston
when he disappeared? Time, yeah. He like got in trouble. I think he went to Houston. And he didn't last very long.
Yeah. Because it wasn't like more than 2 years before that people were talking about like, he needs to be on an all-star team. And then
when he was in Denver, right?
Yeah.
Denver had those couple of years.
Yep. Yeah. So then more relevant guys, though, right now. We've got Pete brought up Fultz.
We got to talk about Ben Simmons. I mean, we have to talk about Ben Simmons.
Hey, he hit a three yesterday. It was all over the news.
You see the clip tonight? I'll post in our Slack. He's like left 20 feet open and airballs it by 4 feet. Like it's so bad. It's awful.
He's a defensive master. Like he's first team all defense. He shuts down any guy that you want him to. Like is always in the right place at the right time, is making hustle play after hustle play after hustle play. Like, he is dominating half of the game that doesn't get all the highlights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another reason why I go back to the trade, is I feel like in Houston, him and Christian Wood, I feel like, is a better fit for him than Embiid. Embiid can shoot, but Embiid isn't running up and down the court like that. Like, Christian Wood's pretty athletic and more of, you know, can play that fast pace. Whereas that's never going to be the thing with Embiid. Like, he's never going to play fast like that, even though he can shoot. So he just, I mean, this trade didn't work out, but I think eventually they still are going to have to move him.
Well, I don't think it was the Rockets necessarily saying no to the Sixers in that situation. I think it was the Sixers asking too much of Houston. And that's it. Like, yeah, obviously you could take Ben Simmons, but if you're going to get, what, 4 picks, that gives you a lot more flexibility than having a guy who probably shoots at the wrong hand.
You know, it hasn't been talked about, but I was thinking, wouldn't like a Simmons for Levine package work well for both teams? I mean, Simmons goes to the Bulls, super athletic young team. He takes the reins. They can just run and gun. He becomes the centerpiece. Levine's a great scorer. He's really good shooter.
I am shocked at his like rise these last couple of years. Like, I thought he was forever going to be like just trash, but he is like really stepped it up. Like, his shooting's out of control.
If you look at his stats, they're comparable in terms of age and season to Bradley Beal in terms of production.
That's crazy.
I mean, he's on the same track right now.
With Zach LaVine, like, I don't think the Bulls want to trade him at all. I don't think they're interested in trying to get rid of him.
But LaVine might want to leave.
Well, yeah, but like, I don't think he's interested. I mean, he's getting the minutes, and there's not a lot to go around necessarily, but I think, like, a guy like Bradley Beal, I'm shocked they didn't try to, like, work. I mean, obviously, they just traded Russell Westbrook there, so. But, like, Bradley Beal is clearly on the table right now, and, I mean, if I was Washington, I would be asking the whole farm for him as well, basically like, you know, the Clippers did for Paul George for some odd reason. But – That's kind of like the situation I would be going for if I was like the Sixers and trying to move Ben Simmons. But I also don't think the Sixers are interested in moving Ben Simmons necessarily. Yeah, if someone comes over with the right offer, maybe we'll talk. But I don't think they're actively searching to get rid of him.
You think they're going to keep the Embiid Simmons thing going for until one decides to leave in free agency, or? Just,
I think they'll at least give it this whole year and then kind of see what happens in the playoffs, because, well, you know, coach. If it's another flame out in the playoffs, yeah, give Doc a chance with this group. Yeah. They have more shooters around them.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, okay, so Ben Simmons is, yeah, I think, and then he's, right, he is a point guard kind of, right?
I think he is the perfect Draymond Green. I think if you wanted Draymond Green to be perfected in a lab, you would get Ben Simmons. But unfortunately, Ben Simmons is a guard in his eyes.
Would he be better on a team where he played like if he was on a team with Steph, would that be ideal to have?
If he was on like a Steph, Kyrie Irving, Damian Lillard, Devin Booker, a team with a guy that can handle the ball and shoot the lights out, and Ben could just rebound and go coast to coast as much as he wants. Like, the only problem is you can't go coast to coast because Joel Embiid's going to complain and be like, why are we running so much? Like, that's the harsh part, is that Ben Simmons is a fluid offense kind of guy that is moving and is in live basketball, and Joel Embiid is a dominant one-on-one stop them.
Do you think Ben Simmons like wants to accept that? Like, no. I'm like a superstar role player type of thing versus like I'm a star, you know, like,
yeah.
I agree. Like, he's more in that Draymond role for sure to me, but I don't know if he even wants to accept that right now.
No way. Well, and I'm not even saying like a Draymond, like the third person. I think he could be the star and get all the highlight plays, but
he just needs to not be the ball.
Not on his own.
You're not initiating the offense every time, or the person expected to kind of play the point guard. I mean, he needs a point guard on the court with him. sort of a thing.
Yeah, when he's bringing the ball up and the defender's behind the free throw line or below the free throw line, right, it's exactly. Like, you know.
Name Simmons' best point guard. T.J. McConnell?
Yeah.
Who, like,
Seth Curry right now? Curry? Seth Curry?
Yeah, I was like, he's never had a legit point guard that can play pick and roll and have him cut off those. Because he's a huge dude.
Yeah.
Like, he's 6'10", 6'11", like, he's a big dude. So he could, like, do a lot. Your time on that? Joel is. And not that Joel Embiid's a bad player. Obviously, Joel Embiid's a star as well, but they're both at-the-rim guys in a lot of ways.
Yep. Okay, so we've got Simmons down. We did Kyrie. We've kind of done Russ. What we've got Kemba and Fultz.
Yeah, I brought up Fultz.
Like, yeah, go ahead, Pete, with Fultz.
I mean, like, his situation is tragic. He was, like, the number one high school guy, you know, college. He looks great, super athletic, big, great frame. Comes to the league, all of a sudden he can't shoot anymore. You know, he plays 14 games his first season, 19 his second. Finally has a good year, you know, played a full year last year for the Magic, 72 games. And then off to a pretty good start this year, actually. He's starting to shoot a little bit better, and eight games in, and he, you know, tears his ACL. That really sucks for him. But at least he got paid.
I think they explained to him coming out of college that he was a perfect mix of Damian Lillard and Russell Westbrook. And when I heard that, I was like – Damian Lillard and Derrick Rose. And I was like, that means he's like a legit MVP candidate, rookie of the year. Like, and even like, you know, he's a Pac-12 guy. So like watching him in college, I was like, yeah, he's like, he's athletic and he can finish and has highlight dunks. But at no point did I ever see him just like sit there and lull a guy to sleep with the dribble and then step back and hit a three. Like those kind of shots, like that's James Harden in college. That's all of these guys in college will do that every once in a while. And you'll see that that kind of move translates to the NBA. Fultz was always at Washington. That place was always just like fast break as much as you can. And athletic guys like Markel Fultz are going to shine in that. Mm-hmm. But in the NBA, those guys are a dime a dozen. Like you see those guys all over the place. That's the Thomas Robinsons, the Will Bartons, like all of those guys, like
Jared Bayless.
Yeah. Like those guys will, they'll last in the league, but they're not going to be MVP candidates, all stars.
Yeah.
I was shocked he got that contract. What, 3 years, $50 million? I was like, who are they against? But
that's good money for him. And
yeah, the Magic just prove again how disorganized of a franchise they are.
Oh man.
Poor Magic.
It'll be interesting to see what they do with Isaac's next year.
Right.
It's like you have Jonathan Isaac and Mo Bamba, and you're like, we've got Vucevic. Like, what
do we have?
Vucevic and Gordon. Like,
I'm just really
young, but you guys got to move off those guys if you're going to do this rebuild thing.
Yeah.
Unless you want to just be 7 or 8 seed every year and be out round one.
I was expecting Gordon to be traded this offseason. I don't know why he wasn't. It makes no sense for him to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think their price for Gordon has been way too high. I think they were asking for CJ and picks for Aaron Gordon. And I was like, first of all, like forwards just per dollar are not equivalent to guards in any way whatsoever in the NBA, especially ones that can shoot. So like they clearly have a very broken viewpoint on what their players are worth and what players they actually need.
Well, CJ for Gordon was a like debated thing. Two, 3 years ago, I feel like the Ringer had a thing about it.
Gary Stotts. They just
now it's delusional. Crazy.
Yeah. But right then, when a couple years ago, it was like, well, I guess you can, you know, Gordon was coming off a couple dunk things, and CJ hadn't really, you know, he'd had a couple good playoff series, but hadn't really taken off, not like nearly like he's been playing so far this season. But yeah, it's like there's no way you would trade CJ for Gordon straight up even.
Oh, no, absolutely not. And that's the other thing that I'm always confused by is this weight that a dunk champion carries for some odd reason.
Yeah.
Like, there's no defender. There's no refs. There's nothing that allows, like, this dunk to be – and yet, for some odd reason, it's, like, something they mention in the trade conversation. Well, he's a dunk champion. It's like
yeah. –
Wait, and, is
well Michael Jordan was a dunk champion. Okay.
He hasn't actually won the dunk champion, has he?
He lost to Jones. He thought he got yeah. robbed.
And then he lost to someone
Levine
else
twice.
Before, to Levine. Yeah, Levine.
Yeah, that's right. He didn't even
he hasn't even won.
He should have won one of those.
He's a robbed dunk champion. In his own mind, he's a dunk champion.
He's a two-time robbed dunk champion.
But yeah, Fultz is young. So getting back to Fultz, you know, he's young. You know, I still have a little hope for him. He's been on an upward trajectory, you know.
I mean, I still think if you're a guard and you can't shoot, your ceiling is still Russell Westbrook. Like, he's the epitome of a can't shoot guard, and he's the best you'll ever get.
Yeah. But Westbrook is like maybe a top five athlete ever in the NBA, you know? It's like,
it's a generational situation. Yeah. And you're like, well, okay, this year we're going to get Markelle Fultz. He's the next Russell. It's like Russell Westbrook was doing things that you could never imagine in a basketball game in terms of his first 8 years. But even then, he never even won a championship. They went to one final. It's like, and even
then,
he held them back shooters next to him.
And then there's a guy like Kemba who's just like injured several times, and also maybe his tragic flaw was being on Charlotte.
I had Kemba and Wall, and then we were kind of together just in the way, like, they've had a lot of injuries together. Well, now Wall brings more baggage off the court, you know, he has, but, you know, he's beloved in Washington, D.C. You know, when he left, he actually, the community, you know, it was pretty cool to see how much he meant to them. But Wall and Kemba both, just lots of injuries, you know. And now we'll see with Boston, you know, it seems like Kemba's going to get picked on no matter what series they're on. He's the guy that he's going to get picked on every play down the court because the rest of those players are good defenders. So, and he's pretty small as well.
But he was getting picked on all the time in Charlotte anyways. That's the one thing that
Charlotte, you know, they have no idea
about Kemba is that he's not big enough to be a good defender, and he's not strong enough. He's probably the same size as Chris Paul, but Chris Paul is broad. Like, he's a pretty broad dude considering, like, his stat. But, like, yeah, I mean, he's an injury-prone guy. But he can hit big shots. But then, like, you go to Boston, and the tides of change are already kind of in effect there. Like, they want Brown and Tatum to get the ball and move. And then a guy like, yeah, you're trying to hide this guy on defense, but he's also, like, you see his stats in Charlotte. And when you just take that, you're like, oh, awesome. But who else was shooting the ball in Charlotte? Like, no one was. Malik Monk, I don't even think he was there. Like, they had nobody. Nick Batum, none of these guys were any good. And then you're like, okay, well, he's 27, 26 points a game, like 8 assists. Like, this guy's going to really bring it to Boston. He's like, but he's not getting the ball minutes that he was getting in Charlotte. So you can't have that same expectation. Mm-hmm.
And the size thing, I think when you're a bad defender and small, you know, because we see, you know, like Harden isn't a good defender, Dame isn't a good defender, Steph isn't, but they're like bigger and they can at least hold up in a lot of these series and stuff. Where Kemba, he's just, when you're small like that, like Trae Young too, that you have no chance. Like,
and that's exactly what I was going to compare him to. I was going to say he's basically like, if Trae Young went to a bad franchise, this is what you would get. Like,
yeah,
he doesn't. I don't think he shoots as well as Trae Young, or even passes. I think Trae Young gets a bad rap in a lot of ways. Like, I'm not even a Trae Young fan because he does a lot of that foul hunting stuff. But when you're small like that, like, and the rules kind of allow for it, like, you can't blame him for it. But Kemba doesn't do that. Kemba's a real traditional kind of style point guard almost. But he does. He does hit big shots. He does put himself in good moments, and he makes the right pass. But now that he's got the injury concerns on top of all that. Like, a defensive liability with – you don't want to build your offense around a guy that you don't know is going to be there very often.
Yeah. But now he's, like, their third option, so we'll see. I mean, they're paying a lot for him to be a third option, but, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you got Peyton Pritchard there now, so.
Yeah. P-Rabbit.
Yeah, and then with Wall, yeah, you just don't. I think right now it's like, how long can he stay healthy at this point?
He sat out the last two games already for knee. So before, when Harden got traded, it's like the last two games now, he's been out with knee soreness. So it's like, how long is he going to hold up? Like, it's crazy. He looked really good off the Achilles, like explosive, like better than I thought he would. But, you know, he also has not just the Achilles, he has all these knee injuries as well. So, yeah.
And you can't imagine, like, the exponential value of, like, I mean, he was out for 2 years anyways, but, like, no training camp to kind of get to know. Obviously, the main guy that the offense was completely organized and built around is gone. And you're coming off of a career-ending injury. Like, and you've got these games that are, like, basically back to back or every other night. Like, I'm a fan and I'm exhausted trying to keep up, like every other night trying to watch a game. That's tiring, let alone playing in one every other night. So a guy like John Wall, who was never really known for his fitness to begin with.
Right. Yeah. Who has the better chubby version, him or Harden right now?
Well, it was the chubby. He also just looked like – it looked like a mugshot almost. Yeah. That one picture of John Wall came out.
He was so disheveled.
Speaking of injuries, can we just stop and talk about how Santoni totally jinxed Nurk after the last pod he's saying, like, don't worry when he gets hit. And, I mean, I watched the replay. It looked like he barely got touched on that play.
I think he hit the guy's knee. Boned a knee.
So yeah. we need a fine for our commissioner for that.
Yeah that's true.
That's been a Blazers tradition. That's a rich Blazers tradition.
I feel like it's not a leg, it's a win.
It's only 2 months. When I said that, I was like, oh, it's only 2 months. That's great. It's like
8 weeks in a 72-game season.
But I mean,
that's like 20 games.
Yeah.
Cantor, though, is going to be putting up, 12, 15, and 5 blocks. You might,
Well, everyone's finally getting their Harry Giles minutes. And I was just like, I mean, you saw him tonight even. I don't know if you guys watched the game, but, like, I've been one of the silent, like, Giles. Well, like, I'm not holding up any – I'm not putting any money on that, but a lot of people are really excited for him because every 30 passes he makes, every third, I mean, he just makes one nice pass every game and people just lose their minds. And it's like Nurk was doing that for a season and he would do that multiple times a game. He, in his best season, he was doing it all the time.
Yeah.
Once he actually got in rhythm, like you can't, it's not a replacement thing that he's going to be able to do.
No. Let's see. Anything else you guys want to talk about league-wise? Any complaints for the commissioner besides him ruining the Blazers season? Single-handedly? No complaints, huh?
Well, I think one thing is there's a lot of confusion. I don't know if confusion, just frustration. I think COVID has created, and obviously like extended timeout for small things like we talked about at the beginning, like puts a lot of ambiguity in terms of like fantasy basketball, because you're like, well, like I can't like put this guy on IR for a week if he's like sitting out with the back spasms. It's like you can't like use this, and like I've got like a lot of weird situations because Killian Hayes is out,
right?
But like they don't know how long. It's like, do I want to put him in and take him out? Or like, there's just a lot of those weird, it's a weird season for the NBA. So naturally it's going to be a weird season for fantasy.
Yeah.
Especially in regards to injuries.
Yeah. It's been super weird with injuries and then people sitting out for contact tracing and stuff. And then I can't figure out, like, it took me so long to figure out what the Yahoo like little notes mean. I feel like they keep changing them, like PP some PPD or something like that is contact tracing, and then there's an I don't know.
NBA, it's so weird. Like Zion the other day had did you see he had an inconclusive test, so he was out, and then the next day they're like, oh, actually it was inconclusive, you can play. Yeah, it's so there's a bunch of weird stuff like that. So versus,
depends on the national game or not.
Yeah.
I think that plays a factor a lot of the time. Obviously, they reinstituted a bunch of policy or recovered it. And we're like, hey, this is the plan, by the way. And everyone's like, whatever. It was bound to be kind of a crapshoot from the beginning. And we've seen what happened. I'm shocked the NFL had as many games as they did and not moved around and stuff like that. And basketball's a lot more fluid in that sense because there's no one else using these stadiums because there's no concerts or anything like that. So they have a lot more flexibility in terms of what they can do in terms of moving games around.
Yeah.
But even after that, the Blazers, they've got these weird home streaks that I feel like are going on. The Blazers have 7 or 8 at home, and then they go on maybe a 3-game road trip, and then they're back. It's just the way these games are organized and how back-to-back-to-back they feel just creates a lot of weird – because you fit more games in a week too, which is weird for fantasy. So that kind of moves some things around. But then you've got some of your players. I think I have 4 players that are available right now.
Yeah.
I think the weird thing with the NFL is there's just 1 game a week, you know? So even if you have people sit out 3 or 4 days, they can still be back by the time there's a game.
Yeah.
First. And then I think the NBA is being far. I mean, I don't know. I've already seen some players kind of be if we're going to do the contact tracing this strict – and it's going to make it hard. First, I don't know if the NFL, if it was more of, if you have a positive test, you're out, or if you've been in direct contact with a positive test versus the NBA, it's kind of unclear how exactly they're doing their contact tracing. So it'll be interesting to see if they change anything with that.
And with the NFL, you have 800 guys on your team that can all kind of slot in rather than 15 or whatever it is. So. Yeah, and I saw that they're considering adding another 2-way contract to
teams. Yeah, it sounds like they're going to do that.
So I think that means that we get to pick up another free agent, everybody, right? I think that's how that works. And and Santoni can, offer Chris Boucher up if he wants.
One big thing this season is I've noticed is that I think this rookie class is much better than we thought coming in with how panned it was beforehand. There are a lot of contributors already, which is surprising.
Well, Halliburton has been the biggest shock.
He looks amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He looks great. Terrific.
He just looks like a playoff rotation player for any team. You could play him on any team. He'll fit in,
Yeah, I've been thinking about that too in terms of draft classes and how they're I was looking through the Lillard Anthony Davis draft class. That class was not very good.
Just top end talent.
I feel like draft classes get that a lot. There's some where they're pretty even keeled, and then there's some classes that get heralded as these great classes because they have 2 guys in it. I mean, obviously there's the LeBron James, Melo, Dwayne Wade classes and stuff like that every once in a while. But I feel like this is one of those classes, we kind of see the potential in a lot of ways. And we might have some guys that last a long time, but I don't know of any all-stars that might come out of this class. I don't even know how to I don't know what box to put him in yet. I don't know what player comparison, because he shoots a lot better than I expected him to.
Yeah.
Who does?
Yeah, who is that, Brett?
Oh, the Timberwolves kid.
Edwards.
Oh, Edwards?
Edwards, yeah.
Yeah.
He's super explosive athlete, too.
Yeah.
He's already had a few dunks and stuff like that. I feel like last year's class is kind of getting a lot of, Ja's pretty good still, obviously. I mean, leader of the team. So, but Zion, I'm still not sold on him at all.
Yep.
I watched their game against the Lakers last night. Like, he just doesn't, like, when he's running, it doesn't look good. He still looks really big. Like, I just, every time I expect him to get hurt, like, it's not, I mean, it I doesn't. Expect,
like, Charles Barkley kind of vibes from him, but even then, like, Charles looked pretty light on the floor for the first, I mean, I wasn't really alive, but I've seen highlights. Charles looks light and he moves, like.
Yeah, he is pretty athletic and in shape.
I was very often.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm trying to think of other guys from this class. Well,
Okonkwo. So, like, I think, like, Okoro has looked really good for Cleveland. Like, he's been pretty solid. You know, I think there's, like, eight guys who've been good. Pritchard was already mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
He's been way better than anyone thought. Bays look good.
The Spurs guys looked good. I forget his name.
He's been sidelined by an injury, so.
Obviously, LaMelo, you know, I mean, just LaMelo.
LaMelo looks pretty good. Like,
he's looking better than I even thought he was going to be, honestly. I just, you know, he's 6'8". I'm like, hey, he'll spill the stat sheet. He seems better than Lonzo already at, like Lonzo had those, like, passes, you know, throw ahead passes, but, like, in the half court, his passing's, like, kind of eh. Like, LaMelo's way better at attacking the hoop and dishing off to people than Lonzo is already.
Yeah, he seems more confident and can do a little bit. Just a little bit more, like, it's just like he's a little bit better in every single category. Like, he still does, like, those long distance passes too.
Yeah,
but, like, neither of them are in great organizations. Like, even the Lakers are kind of, like, you don't know if they're a good organization or not. But, like,
they got LeBron.
You know, the Pelicans and the Hornets are bad organizations.
Yeah.
And LaMelo, like you said, the confidence thing, like, he's had games where he's, like, 1 of 10 shooting, and then he's, like, 8 of 8 shooting. So it's like Lonzo, I feel like there were games he just wouldn't even shoot when he came in, you know. So.
Yep. All right. Well, it's getting pretty late. So anybody got anything else you want to hit on before we finish up? We didn't all give our, I guess, number one most flawed or point guard.
I said Russ was my number one.
Yeah.
Russ is my number one, too.
I mean, if you're going flaws, I would actually say Ben Simmons over Russell Westbrook. Because, I mean, at least Russell Westbrook can get hot from shooting and do a heat. Like, I've never seen Ben Simmons do a heat check. Like, Russell Westbrook in his prime was an all defensive guy.
Yeah.
I think his defense has always been overrated, to be honest. Westbrook,
one of those guys, lots of steals, not very good at defense.
Rebounding is a defensive skill, and he was an excellent rebounder for his career. Like, but even though there was a lot of stat stuffing, he's still a good rebounder for a guard. There were those stat stuffing seasons, but I'm saying, like, when he was with KD and stuff like that, like, he was still doing a lot for them in terms of getting the ball and moving.
What do you value more? Do you rather have someone who won't shoot, or you have someone who you don't want to shoot? Yeah, that's like.
I mean, at least he can make the defense honest sometimes. Like, Ben Simmons still. I mean, Russell Westbrook still made it to the Western Conference Finals and the finals. Like, Ben Simmons hasn't gotten there yet. So, I mean, they got to the Eastern Conference Finals once.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, they just got destroyed. They got chewed up by the Heat or something. Like, they're just not. There's something missing there with Ben Simmons that I just think, like, whether or not it's the fit with Embiid or not, I mean, that could definitely be the underlying factor that makes it – that's holding him back. But he could also be covering up a lot for Ben. So I'm not going to get –
I agree. I'm not was my number two, so I'm not going to argue too much.
Ben still, there is still a little gray area in terms of Ben Simmons' career and whether or not. But, like, if you're a guard that literally can't shoot the basketball, like – in an open gym. I'm not saying, like, in an open gym game. I'm saying, like, when no one else is out there and you can't shoot the basketball, that's a huge, huge, huge career red flag.
Yeah. I'll just say I'm looking forward to the first time I can go to a Blazer Brooklyn game. That'll be fun.
Oh, that'll be great.
I'm going to miss the old Brooklyn. I'm going to miss who were the guys, like, on the team? Well, it was Caris LeVert and Jared Allen and
Spencer Dinwiddie
and
Joe Harris
and the RHJ.
The
Rondas Hollis Jefferson.
Yeah, the Hollis Miami Jefferson.
Guy. Who's the Miami guy that they had? The point guard. Who's the son of the football player? Oh, the short guy. I can't remember his name. He was on the Nets team a few years ago, but
anyway, I'm gonna miss those. It's kind of like that Clippers team with Trez and
speaking of Joe Harris, Joe Harris is gonna get so many wide open threes. It's gonna be ridiculous.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy. Yeah. All right, I'm losing it, so we probably better wrap up. But yeah, so thanks guys for joining me, and it's good to have some faces on here. So,
all right. Good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Go Blazers.
Go Blazers.
Go Nets.
The ostensible reason for doing the clinic.